Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market. And maybe we'll have a little fun along the way.
On this week's episode, Vincent and AJ dive into the world of sports and live entertainment with Matt Lawler, VP of Data and Insights and Global Partnerships at AEG.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stirista's The Marketing Stir. I am your host, Vincent Petrofessa, the Vice President of B2B Products here at Stirista. It is so good to be talking to you. And it's so great. Thank you, people, for coming up to me at conferences and saying that you listen to the podcast, telling me how much you love it. Also, asking us if, you know, is me and AJ, are we, you know, really like that together? We are. Yeah. Friendly banter. He gets more compliments than me from as the wise CEO, but it's okay. I'll just be the crazy guy on the podcast. That's okay with me. But thank you for coming up to us, ladies and gentlemen, telling us you love it. That was so evident at this Battlefin conference that we were at, where people were just enjoying the podcast, telling me how they listen to it, which is weird. I don't need to know that you listen to it while you're on the treadmill. Who am I motivating? Stop it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, who are we at Stirista? If you've ever listened to this podcast, we talk about ourselves just for like not even 30 seconds. We are a marketing technology company. We own our own business-to-business data, consumer data. We help companies through our technology get to that data, to target them, to help them get new customers. I felt like my voice went up a few times there. That's okay. It's excitement, ladies and gentlemen. Email me, vincent@stirista.com. Also, the other thing I'm always excited about, always brings a smile to my face when I talk to him, when I see him, my co-host, my CEO. I've been seeing a lot of him, and that will continue through this summer. Summer of the Gupta, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. AJ Gupta. What's up, AJ?
Hey, Vincent. I was just getting used to being at home for a couple of days, but looks like I'll be headed out to see you tomorrow again. So I'm pretty excited. It'll be a fun trip. It's just been a lot of travel lately, but it's all good.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to like a little downtime. You're right. I just got back in the swing of things and then boom, boom, we're going to Atlanta. Atlanta's fun. It's going to be great. You're getting an award and a sash, apparently. Where's my sash? I've never received a sash, but we're going to take some great photos from there. That's the celebration awards from our, you know, Asian business owner. 2 years in a row getting that award. Congratulations to you and to Stirista. It will be fun. And then you're back here in New York and we're going to be hanging out, meeting with some of our amazing clients and hanging out. You know, AJ, this next guest, and I rarely say this, right? I wish he was in New York. I wish he hung out more. The sports knowledge, come on. It would be fun, but he's on the other coast, the West Coast, ladies and gentlemen. We like the West Coast. We have an amazing guest talking about something we have not touched upon here at the Marketing Stir. We're talking about Matt Lawler, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Vice President, Data and Insights Global Partnerships at AEG. Please welcome Matt Lawler. What's up, Matt?
Woo! Hi. How you doing, Vince? It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the pod.
Yeah, no, we're happy to have you, Matt. So many different ways we could talk about it. We're just talking sports. We're talking events. We were talking so many different things. I'm like, how am I not know this guy? It seems like I've known him for a long time, but we haven't met. We'll change that in the future. But Matt, AEG, tell people right off the bat, right? Who is AEG? And what do you do there in your role? I love your role. You wear a lot of hats, my friend, just in the title alone. So talk to us about those two things.
I've got a nice hat rack at home too, so it fits. You know, my job at AEG is specific to data and insights. I work for the Global Partnerships Group at AEG. AEG is the world's leader in live events. And so that's sports, music. We also own venues and our own ticketing company, Access Ticketing. And so all of those businesses have brands that are partnered with them. Our team is responsible for changing over the Staples Center to become Crypto.com Arena. And shout out to our friends at Crypto.com, Steve and Galad was in that first conversation with them when they were exploring putting their name on a building. We work with some of the largest music properties in the world, Messina Touring Group, do the Taylor Swift tour, Coachella is one of our properties, and I work with Heineken against that property. And most of what we do, bringing those brands to those events, the LA Kings, the LA Galaxy, have a lot of brand sponsors. Those are our sports properties. My job is to help our sales and activation team be informed about how best to convince a brand to come in. A lot of times that requires data and insights, and then explain that our partnerships have done well coming out. And so that requires tracking and measurement, which is more data and more insights. So that's like the shortest, I think I've done it shorter than that, explaining my job, but that's about the shortest way I can explain it, but we can get into it more.
Yeah, you know, when I think AEG, I think those events. I think of the LA Kings, although I'm a Rangers fan and they beat us in the Stanley Cup, but you got to respect the legacy there, the Wayne Gretzky. And you and I have a shared love for the LA Galaxy, having my, and I kid you not, AJ, you've seen me wear this before. I have my LA Galaxy jersey, the Nutrilife, Edson Buttle on the back, number 14. He's a friend of mine, Portchester High School, class of 98. I'm 96. We need a representative. So we share our love for the Galaxy. He's going to wear my jersey today, put it out, left it. The kids had to rush out to get them to school. We know how that goes, but it happens all the time. But Matt, I want to get to, we're going to talk to you how you got started in marketing, but tell us about your sports team. Like, you know, who did you like growing up? Where did you grow up? Tell us about that. And then my next question, how you got started in this business and marketing in general?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I want to acknowledge your Rangers. They're playing great hockey right now. And so best of luck to them in the playoffs. I wish that it were Stars Kings in the Western Conference. But the Oilers have had our number for a while. We're working on it, but that's exciting. And I hope to see the Rangers in the Stanley Cup final very, very soon. And I also love that you're a Galaxy fan. So I'm a Galaxy fan. My mom actually had season tickets as far back as, like, I think 2001, 2002. She's a very early Galaxy fan. Just because it was something different to do. She likes being outside. She got some tickets with friends and it worked for her. My family, I'm from Pasadena, California. I actually live in the house that I was born in. And I'm a product of generational wealth, which doesn't always happen for Black people in America. So I'm actually really in favor of it and feel very blessed. My kids are the fourth generation of our family to live in that house, which is fantastic. And they actually go to the elementary school that I went to. So it's all full circle. I went to Philadelphia for undergrad, UPenn, little school called UPenn. Fun fact, I have a line item in a box score from my time playing basketball at Penn. If you can find me, credit to you. It's a little bit of a Easter egg hunt, but you'll get there. I got in one game, and my line for that game was 2 minutes, 2 fouls, 1 assist. So really, really showed out for the fans. I left Penn with a philosophy degree, right? Because that makes sense. And then got started in entertainment, working for Warner Brothers on the TV side. Was working with a legal group to think about rights and clearances and how Warner Brothers distributed their massive library of TV and film internationally. And I worked right above the marketing group. And I was like, man, those guys are having a lot of fun and they're getting paid to do it. And so I just made friends with the people in marketing. Shout out Lisa Gregorian. She really took a chance on me early on. She's the ex-CMO of the Warner Brothers TV group. But I spent about 5 or 6 years there off and on with a stint in business school at USC. And then after business school, I went back to Warner Brothers Television. I got poached from Warner Brothers by a friend that I was working with there to go into advertising. And I went to an ad agency where I ran the social advertising team. This was 2012 when Facebook's ad product hadn't really developed yet, or was like just starting to develop. And so I got in on the ground floor of basically social media advertising. And if you followed Facebook's trajectory or programmatic advertising at all, you know that social has had a tremendous impact on the way that ads are structured and sold. And so I learned a lot about advertising across channels by leading that social team, working with out-of-home buyers, programmatic buyers, TV buyers, et cetera. A friend of mine from business school saw that I knew social and said, hey, let's get lunch. And sure enough, he worked for AEG. And he was like, we actually need help with social. And as I dug in deeper into what AEG is and what we do, I realized, oh, you don't just need help with social. You need help with monetizing technology, monetizing all ad channels, monetizing insights. And I'd love to do that job. And so that's kind of how I got to where I am. I took it past how I got started in marketing, but that job at Warner Brothers and just working on a floor above a group of marketers that were having a great time really set me on my course.
Matt, you have a pretty unique background that combines data and partnerships. Not every day you see both skills in somebody. How does that allow you to bridge these two areas, and what's in your background that made you be drawn to both these kind of separate areas?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I get a lot of people asking me how I got to this job. I think some of it was created, right? But I think a lot of it is just picking up little bits and pieces along that career. And so I think the first thing that we learn is everything's a partnership, right? Like, we're in partnership building this podcast. We've prepared and we've had some conversations before, just getting to know each other to make sure that your listeners have a great time. But I think that was something that I learned really early on, is that collaboration is key to success anywhere. And so when you then bring that to a partnership org, you fit really well with a bunch of people that are relationship driven. This is one of the best sales teams I've ever seen in my life. And they're so magnetic in their personalities and able to connect with anyone. It just shows you sort of what the common thread is from a partnership standpoint. I think the data piece is also interesting, right? If you think about what the current landscape for data is, there are more signals than ever coming from everywhere. And so the best marketers and the best data professionals have to be able to take data from multiple sources and effectively partner them together to create the most effective insights. When I do a audience segmentation to help somebody who's selling the Kings talk to a cloud service provider, I've got to build a profile of the LA Kings fan that speaks to what the cloud service provider wants. And they don't necessarily want, you know, you or me that's just buying tickets. They're looking for influential B2B contacts at a higher level that run companies that might be able to do enterprise deals, right? That's several different sources of data that need to be combined and then delivered back to the partner, to whoever is trying to make a decision. And so a lot of that, AJ, has come from working in marketing, working in a legal team, but then also being able to move downstairs with the marketing group. I had to have relationships. I got poached from advertising because of a relationship I had in business school, which I went to business school in a stint in between Warner Brothers, and I had to use a relationship from the first stint to get back to Warner Brothers for the second stint. So I think partnerships are everywhere. I think collaboration is everywhere, and that includes data and technology and marketing.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, Matt. I think people underestimate that everyone is essentially in partnerships in that company. So, you know, a lot of people who listen to this podcast are early career professionals in marketing. So what advice would you give to somebody who is looking to kind of go in a similar direction as you?
I have it up on my board. I have a whiteboard wall just on the other side of this camera. And at the top of that wall are two words: relentless curiosity. And for me, that's the marker of any insights professional, is trying to get to the why, right? And I think this is true for marketers as well, right? Is like, what drives consumer behavior? The better we can understand that, the better marketers we can be, right? What are your interests? What motivates you? If I understand that and I am able to build a product that speaks to that, I'm much more likely to onboard you to my product, to my service. And so I think the first piece is like, you just got to really dig in and try to understand why people work the way they are, you know, why things happen, what systems are in place that are driving outcomes. And I think if you can do that, then you're on your way. I tell everyone that's in the market for a job, like, be great at what you do right now, right? Try to find a way to do the thing you're doing better than anyone else has done it. Try to streamline it, do it faster, do it better. One that's going to save you time and give you time back to do other things and grow. And also the people that you're doing that work for are going to appreciate the quality that you're putting out. And so I think those two things, right? This idea of relentless curiosity, and then just whatever you do, try to be as great as you can at it. Those are the two pieces that will get you going on your career, regardless of what you do.
Matt, you mentioned data. We love talking about data here at Starista and the Marketing Stir. Do you use data differently for AEG, different than how you would your partners?
Oh, yeah. You guys want to talk about privacy? You want to talk about data privacy? That's everyone's favorite sexy topic right now. I have to use data differently for partners than for AEG itself, because a lot of the data that we have for AEG has not been properly structured from a privacy compliance standpoint for use with partners. And so there are things that I know about the audience internally that I cannot give to my partners just because we don't have the proper consent from consumers. And by the way, I think this is the right thing. So there's a lady named Sarah Roberts, who's our head of privacy. She's new. She's from Disney, but she's excellent at her job. Like, excellent isn't even, I don't think, is the right word to describe. Like, she is beyond excellent. And I've learned a lot from her about what we can and can't do and how we have to proceed for partners so that we're doing right by the consumer and we allow ourselves to run our business, but also so we're doing right by the partner and not walking ourselves into risk and a potential lawsuit. I think both things matter. It's wildly frustrating that I can't just use it all the same way. And yet that's how it should be, right? There should be nuance in the data. We should consider your credit card number and AJ's social security number as things that we don't need to use for the Coke campaign, right? It's just like Coca-Cola does not need those things right now. And if they really need them, they can get them themselves.
And let's talk about some of those partnerships that you were talking about earlier. You mentioned, I believe, Heineken. Love me some Heineken, Amstel Light family, even the great non-alcoholic beer. Shout out to Heineken. Shout out to Sarah Roberts as well. You mentioned Sarah. Let's give her a shout out.
Shout out a bunch of people today.
You did. I know. I love you. You're showing a love for people. This is great. So, Matt, talk to us about some of those, you know, partnerships that you're supporting, helping them with their marketing. You know, if you could mention a few.
One of the partnerships that I love, and I'm selfish because I worked on it, it was the largest deal that has been done in our industry for naming rights, is the crypto.com deal. The day that that deal was announced, there was a crazy spike in their currency. And this was, you know, a sensitive time for the crypto industry. A lot has happened since then. Crypto.com is still very much alive and a partner of ours. We love our partnership. And what we did the day that we signed was we started a measurement plan. And we started measuring that deal even from before we technically announced, just to understand, benchmarking how people felt. We looked at where other naming rights deals had effectively saturated the market, where people stopped calling it the old name and started calling it the new name, which we understood to be a huge challenge in Los Angeles because of the Lakers and the history of Staples Center. And, you know, we're on wave four of that right now. We're in year four of the deal, wave four of the study. And the growth is phenomenal. We're seeing increases in brand awareness. We're seeing increases in engagement. Crypto.com is surpassing user milestones, right? So there's a lot of success to be seen there. I love that one. Heineken's another great one. Just, you know, on the back of Coachella, there's a lot of brands that activated Coachella. Heineken's the only one that activates a stage with artists, and they do an amazing job every year. This year was no exception. Their head of consumer data, a guy named Russ, is a great friend and really brilliant at his job. And we've talked a lot about how we can capture data together so that he can use it for marketing purposes. And Heineken undertakes some efforts on the ground that allows them a more direct follow-up with somebody that's come to Heineken House so they can continue the conversation. Sometimes we provide the insights to the partner. Other times the partner uses the platform to capture their own data so they can unearth their own insights. And I think both work. We try to be as flexible as possible to what the partners need. Those are two that I really love. We're also really excited about the Mercury Insurance partnership that we have with the LA Kings. They put their name on the front of the jersey. And, you know, right now hockey's having a challenge with trying to, all of sports actually having a challenge with trying to sell those pieces of inventory. Basketball, baseball, hockey, all experiencing the same thing, soccer too. And we're seeing, you know, tremendous response from the marketing that's going on with Mercury as well. We're at the end of year one. And so I've got some studies out right now, and I'm hoping that the data comes back as positively as we've seen some of the other data come back. But yeah, those are a few. There's so many. We work with close to 1,000 brand partners. In the US and globally. And so, you know, I've got so many examples of partners that are doing amazing things.
Man, those are some great examples. On the flip side of things, in terms of challenges that you face in implementing data-driven marketing in the partnership world, what are some of the kind of common challenges that you run into?
I'll speak agnostically from a data standpoint, and then I'll talk about sports and music. I think agnostically, and when I was working on the agency side, there's still this issue of data overabundance, right? I mean, there's so much data out there. It's almost daunting at certain times, and you really have to be focused to figure out what data matters, right? Because usually it's only one or two data points that end up moving a conversation. And so if you capture too much, you may never get to those data points. So I think having focus around data is a real challenge. You can pull data from anywhere. Everyone's got data now. Which data is the right data? In sports and entertainment, it's even trickier because we're a live business, right? And so while there are data sources that speak to physical activity, foot traffic measurement and visitation measurement, there's plenty of tools that track that and processes for getting that data. You know, it's not like having an app, even though we do have a ticketing app, right? It's not like an Uber where I'm seeing every point of your journey. I know exactly where you're going. I can build a profile about where you go and what you do on a regular basis because you use my app 5-10 times a week, right? Going to bars, restaurants, home, work, et cetera. It can be a challenge trying to get data from a sports and music standpoint. And I also think this is true agnostically, right? We talked about privacy a little bit. It's becoming harder to get data on individuals identifiably that allow you to personalize the way that people expect, which is a trend, right? A lot of people are seeing what's possible and realizing, oh, I can get things tailored to me. So why isn't everything tailored to me? I think those are a couple of challenges. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, man, that's very helpful. So we have a question we ask every single podcast guest, which is around LinkedIn. I'm sure with your profile, you get quite a few unsolicited messages on LinkedIn. So would love to know what's one message or what's a kind of message that really annoys you and what's one that actually gets a response from you?
So I don't know if you've seen my LinkedIn, but I have a post that is pinned. And it is specifically about this topic, because the thing that I hate the most about LinkedIn is when I get an invite to connect, because it, quote unquote, seems like we have shared interests or looks like we know the same person. That is true of literally everyone in social, and it's the worst value prop that I've ever seen. And it's so lazy. And not only are you not going to connect with me that way, like, you're probably going to get me to block, ignore, and never respond to you again. So my thing on LinkedIn says, hey, I need you to do a little bit of homework, and I need you to look at why you think we should be connected. I need your pitch, right? If you're selling me a product, know a little bit about what I do and why you think I would buy your product. Don't just like give me the cold pitch. And I believe this is true of sales. Sales guys have a hard time. They have a tough task. Sometimes it's a volume game and you just got to get the message out to people. And eventually you hit the right person out of sheer luck and that person says yes. But I'm a big believer of like targeted messaging with context and the right intent. And so if you just send me like a blanket invite to connect, it's a surefire way to get me off your team.
I'm the same way. People have heard me talk about this, Matt, on this podcast. My biggest pet peeve, look, I'm in partnerships. I've been in that role. I understand people need to do their job. It's those people who connect. I think it's just like 10 to 14 or 15 of the same connections. That's the magic number. I'm like, wait a minute. I looked. I was like, oh, yeah. And then immediately if I do connect, it's like a message that gets sent to me. And I'm like, oh, you got me. that's more my fault than yours. But no.
But that's the path, right? And I think that, you know, people have gotten really smart. And I think data has lended us a lot of support in how we make decisions. And we've been able to build models that help maximize success, right? And so they see that, okay, first I've got to get 10 to 15 of the shared connections. So I'm just going to add people that they know, really they're the target. And then once I add those people, boom, I'm going to hit them with the sales message. It's not dumb. Like, it's like, you got to have a strategy. I just like, That never works for me because I can see through it. It's like, who is this person? Where do they work? What's their background? Who are the people that they're connected with? They don't realize that those are soft connections for me. Those are people that I worked with for 2 months at the agency trying to do a deal. It didn't happen. And now I don't talk to that person anymore. I kept it warm, right? And I could reach out to them if I ever needed to, but those aren't my close connections. I think those things matter. The other day, I was on a call with a bunch of MLS teams, and we were talking about a third-party partner that we use for syndicated data. And there were a bunch of talented analysts on the call, and I'm hiring an analyst. So I'm looking at the people on the call, and I'm listening to them talk, and I'm like, I like this person, I like this person. And I just don't know all of the analysts in MLS. So let me get connected to see what people are doing and other teams are doing. So I just start picking off people. I start adding them. But my message is what I think resonates. Hey, I was on this call with you. I thought what you had to say about X was great. I'd love to be connected here. And maybe we can share some insights about our two teams. Boom. That kind of message. Wonderful. I'd rather connect that way than just have a bunch of loose, cold connections that I never use. So I feel really strongly about this. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah, same way. It was just, for another example, we were at this conference Battlefin where I was lucky enough to MC the day one event. And it's kind of like, hey, Matt, I hosted the panel that you are on and you said, boom, 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 that. So yeah, it's those connections. I've never been that, cold kind of person in that sense. So love it. So Matt, before we get into the personal side, getting to know you, what's a marketing tool, a marketing program, just something that is your go-to, you can't really live without, that helps your job?
Right now, the thing that we're living in is a survey software called Alkamer. And Alkamer is, in my opinion, slightly better than SurveyMonkey. It's almost Qualtrics at SurveyMonkey prices, basically. And so we're running just a ton of self-reported research through that platform for our festivals, for our teams, for our venues, for our own events. And it's proven very useful. I really love it, and I can't seem to get myself out of it. I've just been in it a long time. So shout out to the Alkamer team. They built a really great product. I think the other thing that I love, which I don't want to love, but it's so helpful right now, is ChatGPT, man. Especially in a world where things are changing and you need to document new process, like a 3-line prompt turns out, 2 to 3 pages of process documentation that you can then edit rather than writing yourself. It's so critical to keeping us organized. And I'm trying to lean into that a lot more lately. GPT-4.0 is wild. That's probably a whole other podcast that we could have. Part 2 with Matt. I think those two tools are the ones that I'm in right now. It always changes, but marketing tools are always evolving. And there's so many that we use. That's like 1/20th of the tools that we use.
Oh, it's good. Good. Throwing out a lot of shout outs today. Good. Thanks for spreading the love, spreading the joy.
I'm not Matt, done, Vince.
I love it. We have more. There's a lot of love. This is great. So Matt, talk to us. I want to ask you this specifically because I would imagine, right? Sporting events, concerts. I was just thinking about this as we're talking. What is like the most memorable concert and or sporting event you've ever been to live?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's hard to choose this. And I feel like I want to give a different answer every time. We host the Grammys at Crypto.com Arena. And every year, we bring all of our key partners at AEG, not just in that building, but globally, to that event, just as a celebration of our business. And it's mind-blowing to just think about the place that we sit in the industry, right? Like, I've seen Rihanna, Beyonce, like name your favorite artist, and at some point they've been in or around that show. It always blows my mind that I'm in that room when I'm in that room. The most fun I probably ever had is I was 20, 19, maybe years old. at the knitting factory in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I saw George Clinton at like, it felt like he went on at 12:30 at night, and it felt like he left at 4:30 in the morning. And maybe it's because I was young and I don't remember it properly. Maybe something else was messing with my mind. But that was like, I just remember that moment being like, shows are great and I want to see lots of great shows. So I mean, I missed Beychella for the birth of my son, but I've seen so many great artists at Coachella. I've seen countless shows. I saw Kendrick, the Crypto.com Arena. The list goes on and on. I've seen so many. Prince at the Forum.
That would have been nice. Yeah, Prince, that's a big regret of mine. Michael Jackson, not going to see. But yeah, we have a knitting factory right here in Brooklyn. They turn out some amazing shows as well. That's awesome. You know, what was yours, AJ? Do you remember it? Well, I can see sporting event is the, in 2011, I was at home for the Giants against the Falcons, that playoff game. And I would tell you what, I've been going to these Rangers playoff games and, you know, we haven't lost much at home, knock on wood. So those have been pretty fun as well. What about you, AJ? You went to some great concerts recently.
Well, I think the big one that's coming up is the Cricket World Cup. So I've actually never been to a Cricket World Cup match before. So, but I'll be going there with Vincent, who will need to learn about cricket in the next 4 weeks here.
So AJ, cricket is on my to-do list for sports, as is futsal. And I think they just added futsal to the Olympics, which will be in LA in 28. So I'm like trying to like round out my list. I'm almost, I've seen rugby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been to some World Cup games, but cricket is on my list.
You know what? We'll send you the dates, Matt. We have a suite, so if you can make it.
Are you coming to New York in June? Let's go, Matt.
This podcast just took a whole turn.
That's it. Yeah, no, we can make things happen here, Matt. We don't mess around. But yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, Matt, what do you like to do for fun? Obviously, you know, you said your dad. That's awesome. And it's AJ and I are dads. We love that. What do you like doing on the weekends? You know, our show is now like Paw Patrol, like me, that you're going to.
I think as dads, the question is not what do you like to do, but what do you do? Just what do you do, right? I am with my kids all the time. Is like when I can, I spend time with them. Sometimes it's my choice. Sometimes it's their choice, just because we're trying to spare mom the headache. It's loud and messy. But I know that eventually they're going to be teenagers and they won't want to hang out with me. And then I'll get to play basketball, work in my workshop. I do. So I have a real estate company that I run on the side. I don't know how, but I do it. And so I really enjoy managing homes, my own included. So I was joking with somebody yesterday. I'm probably going to go and like get all the certification to become a contractor once the kids kind of ease up off me. So I love, you know, I love hoops. I love DIY stuff, working on the home. I really like to cook. I actually do most of the meals in my house. At one point I was a party DJ, so I can turn out a party for the right sum these days. It's got to be worth it for my time. Yeah, man, there's a lot. I do a lot. I love my friends. I do love shows. I'm trying to get my kids into the sports. So we've been going to more Galaxy games lately. My son is starting to really love it, which is great because he's the X factor. Like if he doesn't love it, it's a problem for everybody.
Yeah, no, that's my 7-year-old who's like that. No, I get it. Now that's awesome. Yeah, we love a side hustle here at the Marketing Stir with the, you know, the real estate and the DIY. That's awesome, Matt. No, this has been great getting to know you. Ladies and gentlemen, check out AEG. Check out some of those events. Go see a Galaxy game. Go to a concert. But, you know, if you're going to reach out to Matt, you better, you know, do your homework, ladies and gentlemen. That is Matt Lawler, the Vice President, Data and Insights Global Partnerships at AEG. That's AJ Gupta, the summer of AJ, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vincent. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.